It's good to be back on the broadcast again today. And I would like to speak about grace abounding for the Christian life. You know, we've got a marvelous text. It's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Isn't that marvelous? Oh, it is. "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You know, I often quote a man called Charles Spurgeon, and he had an orphanage, amongst other things. He had an orphanage. And on the pillars going into the orphanage, he had this text graved in there: "But my God shall supply all your needs, all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, I want to give you the background to why this text appears. Paul's writing back to the Philippians. They have sent a gift to Paul through a fellow called Epaphroditus. And he has given them the gift, taken the gift, journeyed with the gift. And Paul says, "Okay, you've given me." And so this is kind of like a thank you note to them. He says, "And you've given me, but let me tell you, because of that giving, my God shall supply all your needs." Did you hear that? "According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now, this is especially a verse for givers. If you're a giver, claim this verse. Claim it without doubt. "My God shall supply all your needs." But I'm going to be quite frank with you. I've been saved nearly 50 years. And I've met a lot of Christians who aren't givers. They're really not givers. When it comes to giving, they stop at nothing. Think about it. I mean, they just don't give. Does that mean that God won't supply all your needs? Well, if I was a legalist, I would say, yeah, it means that. But we live in grace, and God graciously provides. And do you know what? God loves to see his redeemed ones being generous. Did you hear me? God loves to see you being generous. Well, will your lack of generosity take you to hell? No. No. But you're missing out on some wonderful blessings by giving money for the cause of the gospel and for the cause of Christ. And so, yeah, this verse can be claimed by givers and non-givers alike, but especially by the givers. And we see in this one verse five great gems, and we're going to look at those today and see that there's grace abounding for the Christian life. Now, "my God shall supply all your need." Well, the first thing we see is a great need. Why do I say it's a great need? Because this letter was written to a whole church, to an assembly. It wasn't just to an individual. And if he'd said, "My God shall supply all your need," well, that would be a need, but maybe not a great need. But can you consider maybe several hundreds, maybe 1,000 people in the Philippian assembly? We don't know. Well, you add all the needs together. That's a great need. Yeah. And the need of the entire church, not just one person. The combined need of the church, "but my God shall supply all your need," the whole church. Whatever you need, if he can meet the need of an entire church, he can meet your need. Hello? He can meet your need as an individual. He can meet all your temporal needs. You know, sometimes it's hard to survive. Yeah, you might be finding it tough. Hard to put food on the table at times. Clothes on our backs. Yeah, and sometimes we're as despairing as Elijah. But remember old Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 17, at the brook of Cherith. Do you remember what happened? Ravens came and fed him. Now, that's remarkable, isn't it? But I'll tell you what's even more remarkable is that ravens are the greediest birds God ever created. They'd share nothing with anyone. But they came and they fed the prophet. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He'll supply all your temporal needs. Won't you trust him? Won't you ask him to do that? But not only so, he'll supply all your spiritual needs. You know, we have spiritual needs, daily spiritual needs. I'll give you an example. We have a need for a perpetual cleansing from sin. Why? Because we're always sinning. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ. Oh, every moment of every day, the finished work of Calvary avails for us. Now, if you ever read the book of Hebrews, you should go to chapter 12 and verse 24, and we read about coming to Jesus, who's called the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood sprinkling that speaks of better things than that of Abel. Did you notice? Speaking blood. What? Yeah. We've come to the new covenant and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks of better things than that of Abel. Well, you know, today's forensic science tells us that in one sense, the blood has a voice. Literally, it has a voice. DNA can be extracted from just one small drop of blood and it can speak either for or against the accused. And Jesus' blood is speaking blood. Abel's blood spoke, but it was crying out for vengeance. But Christ's blood speaks mercy, cleansing, salvation, peace, soundness of mind, righteousness, perfect acceptance before God, all because of the blood. Speaking blood, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There's grace abounding when we need it. And you know, there's another thing. My God shall supply all my needs. We see there's a great need, but there's a great helper. My God. In this manner, or I should say, in this matter, the greatest saints are no better off than the weakest ones. For Paul calls him my God. Can you call him my God? Can you simply say, my God shall supply? Is he your God? Have you trusted him? If you're in covenant with him through Christ, you can call him my God. He is the mighty God. He's my God, and he's your God. And Paul's God who provided for him when he could not provide for himself is my God, and he's your God. Yeah, he's Paul's God, he's my God. Oh, but if you haven't trusted Jesus, you can't call him that. I mean, you can call on him, and God's big, and he's gracious. But why don't you make it sure? Trust in the Lord. Put your trust in Christ. Put your confidence in him as the one who died on the cross for your sins in particular. Yes, indeed. My God. So, as we look through the pages of Scripture, we see people who relied upon their God. We can see how the Almighty helped his people. You consider Moses. I was just thinking about this. Moses at the Red Sea. You know, he has left Egypt and he's got all these couple of million people with him. And the Egyptians are closing in, and they're going to come and wipe them out with a sword and with their horses, their steeds. And right in front of him is the Red Sea. Now, if he goes back, they'll get killed by the sword. If he takes the people forward, they'll drown. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What happened? You know what happened. God split the waves and the sea, and they all walked through. He is the God who is always awake. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He is all powerful. He is ever present. He is with us at all times. And there never will come a time when your need will take him by surprise. He'll never say, "Oh, what? You're joking. It what? What happened? They did what?" No, there'll never come a time when your situation or my situation takes him by surprise. Now, let's say it's midnight and you find yourself in some situation of need at midnight. You don't want to look at your clock or your watch and say, "Oh, jeepers, it's only midnight. When's God's office? When's God's office open? Anybody? When's God's office open?" No, you don't have to wait for his office to open so that you can apply for help. No, he never slumbers. He never sleeps. You don't have to wait until morning. You have a great helper, and grace abounds to you through him, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And the next thing I want to tell you about is there's a great supply with the Lord Jesus. Did you know that Jesus has at least four accounts through which he helps us? Yeah, they're all riches. These accounts never run dry. First of all, he's got the riches of his goodness. Then there's the riches of his wisdom. And then there's the riches of his grace. And then there's the riches of the glory. The riches of his goodness, if you're taking notes, Romans 2, I think it's 6. The riches of his wisdom, Romans 11, 33. The riches of his grace, Ephesians 1:7, the riches of his glory, Ephesians 1:18. And we are drawing our help from the Royal Bank of Heaven. Did you hear that? That's our bank, the Royal Bank of Heaven. And it is never needed, nor will it ever need the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, to bail it out. It's secure. It's intact. It has a limitless supply, and that's how God, he meets our need through his supply. What a wonderful supply. And his bank is located where neither moth nor rust nor corruption where it can take a hold. And these thieves do not break through and steal from it. No. You know, you probably have heard this old expression. I have. I've heard it since I was a child. Oh, God helps them that can. God helps them that help themselves. That's entirely wrong. That's pathetic. God helps them that helps themselves. Wrong. The truth is, God helps them that cannot help themselves. And it's when you cannot help yourself to help your situation that you turn to the Lord and watch him. Watch him. You may be in a terrible mess today. Watch him. Turn to him. Commit this to him. Commit your situation to him. Watch him turn it around. You know, sometimes the idea of need frightens us. But when you have a need, look to the Lord to supply. Now, he's not going to be mad at you because you're getting frightened when you look at the need. Oh, that thunderstorm's broken back in. No. Trust the Lord to supply and fill your need like he would an empty pot. Just fill it with his provision. My God, what about him? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Oh my, and there's grace abounding for the Christian life because there's great resources. We've got a great need, but we've got great resources. According, the scripture says, according, he meets our need according to his riches in glory. Oh, gosh, I'm stunned. I am stunned. I don't know how to really express this. Riches in glory. That's indicative of the wealth of deity. His riches are glorious. And that's how he meets your need out of these. And consider the riches of the earth alone. There's gold and silver and diamonds. Do you know what? It's all his. And if they ever run out, do you know what he could do? He can make more of them. He can make more of them. What a God. Isn't he amazing? He can make more of them. Oh, consider everything is his, the riches of the beauty of nature. It's all his. Consider the riches of his mercy. He's rich in mercy. Our God is plenteous, lush in mercy. He's rich. Oh, yeah. He's rich in power. He's rich in patience. He's rich in kindness. He's rich in goodness. He's rich in grace. Now, we don't know the extent of these riches in glory. We've not seen his riches in glory, but we can't even look into the fullness of his glory. What does it mean? Well, it means simply this. If you've listened to me long enough, you know I try to keep it simple. It just simply means there's no shortage of supply. Oh, no shortage of supply. So you're worried about bills? There's no shortage of supply. He'll supply. What do you mean he'll send the money magically? No, but he might send you a different job. He might send it supernaturally. I had a lot. Oh, yeah, but he never runs short. He can create more and more universes. His power and resources were not exhausted at the first creation. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. I want you to notice that word according. According to, it's not out of his riches and glory. That would be nice if it said that, but he says he meets our need according to his riches and glory. Let me explain to you. Let's say your church, you and your church, you're building some, maybe your church building. Yeah, a lot of folks down in Africa building church buildings in India the same way. And somebody comes along and they're a billionaire. And they look at what you're doing and they give you $10,000 US. Wow, that's a lot of money. Yes, it is. But what they've just done is meet your, give to you out of their riches. Not according to their riches, because if they gave according to riches, then you get everything paid off, everything built, and more besides. But our God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. That's enough to make a Presbyterian shout, I tell you. Glory. Oh, yes. Don't you think that in the light of this scripture, unbelief is insanity? We've got a great need. We've got a great helper. We've got a great supply. We've got great resources. There's grace abounding to us. But there's something else. There's a great mediator. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you hear that? By Christ Jesus. He's the mediator. According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Christ is the mediator And he brings us to God. But not only does he bring us to God, he brings God to us. Did you hear me? Christ brings God to us. You could not know Christ. I mean, you could not know God. I could not know God if it were not for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. That's not just strictly speaking evangelistically. Of course it is evangelistically, but no one comes to the Father. You'll not come to an understanding of the Father. You'll not come to a realization of the Father unless it's through the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's wonderful. He's the great mediator, and he brings us to God, and he brings God to us. So there is now, because of the doing and dying of Christ, there is the uninterrupted favor of God resting upon us. Did you hear me? The uninterrupted favor. But I'm a terrible sinner. I understand. But you have the uninterrupted favor of God. You think you sinned once and then God hates you? You think that you fell away? There's some people writing to me telling me that you can fall away. What nonsense. If you can fall away having trusted Christ, then you know why you trusted Christ? Because you were elect. You were chosen way out in eternity. And so God's going to have to reverse the decree of election. I've got 12 reasons. I'm not going to enter them. Maybe some program I will. If you want to find out more about that, write to me. You'll get my address. Miles at Miles McKee. miles@milesmckee.com. I was going to say you could wait to the end of the program, but sure, may as well give it to you now. So what was I saying? Yeah, because of the doing and dying of Christ, there is uninterrupted favor of God, and it's resting upon us through Christ Jesus. So let's get this straight. Are you a believer? Are you? Hello, are you a believer? Ask yourself that. Have you trusted Christ? Have you come to him as a sinner and say, I'm not worthy? I deserve death, but forgive me, and I trust, I believe that you lived and died and rose again. Save me. Well, you know something? Here's some of the blessings for the believer. Your sins have been put away. That's true. They're put away. Where are they? I don't know where your sins are. And you know, well, even more, God doesn't know where your sins are. He's cast them away. He's hurled them away. And Christ is now your righteousness. Your righteousness, that very same righteousness of God. You don't have to be so worried that you don't have an entirely good righteousness of, but that's of yourself. You have the righteousness of God in Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. If you're a believer, you've been set apart unto God. If you're a believer, you've already been set apart unto God. That's now walk in it. Just walk in what God's already done. You have access to the throne of grace. The throne of grace. Gosh, I thought the first time the throne of grace, you'd just be surrounded by lightning and thunder and all kinds of things. But you know what? I came to realize that as you approach the throne, do you know what was on the throne? A lamb. A lamb. Why would you be afraid to come to the throne of grace? There's a lamb there. His name is Jesus. Isn't that a precious name? How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in the believer's ear. There's a lamb on the throne. And you are now part of a royal priesthood. You can go and talk to him and plead with him. And oh, not just for yourself, but plead for others to be saved. Plead for others to have their needs met. Plead for the missionaries that they be protected and have their needs met. Christ is your sanctification. You are set apart in him. Christ is your perfection. No need for this bondage of trying to find perfection. It's found, all right, but it's found in Christ. Now then, in the light of this, do you think that he will not meet your need? Our mediator will not meet your need? Can you? Don't think like that. How insulting to him. But my God shall supply. He shall supply. Not maybe supply. He shall supply. My God shall supply all your needs. Or all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When he bought us, he brings all his spiritual, he brought all his spiritual riches, and he meets all our needs. From now until the end of time, he meets all our needs. You will not meet your needs by worrying or fretting. You've got to go to Christ. Go to Jesus. Go to him, believing that he'll meet all your needs. And he meets our need out of his inexhaustible love and generosity. He's generous. He is generous. He's not tight-handed. And you know the story they tell about pastors, and that's true. Basically, this church appointed a new pastor, and the deacon prayed. He said, "Lord, you keep him humble, and we'll keep him poor." Yeah, right. I've been there. I've been that pastor. Oh, listen, he meets all our needs out of his inexhaustible love, inexhaustible generosity. He's got a generous heart. Do you know how generous it was? It moved him to go to the cross. It's the same heart that provides for his people. He provided salvation for his people there at the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He supplies and he provides all our needs. Listen, a couple of weeks ago, I gave an illustration. It would be a perfect illustration for this message. And I realize we have a lot more listeners than we had back then. And I don't think the folks from Mahara were listening in that day. But Mahara, oh yeah, that's my hometown, my home village in Northern Ireland. And anyway, but there's a great story told, and I'm going to repeat it here. It's wonderful. But a wee old woman lived in a cottage, and she had a half door, and she would stand and talk to the neighbors. A half door, there was just a half a door. Well, the top half closed, obviously, at nighttime. But people could see in, and she had a big hearth fire. But the poor lady, a widow woman, she had no money. She had run out of money, and she was praying. And she said, "Lord, send me a loaf of bread. Send me a loaf of bread." Well, the young lads in the village, they happened to be passing by her house, and they heard her praying. And they said, "Let's play a trick on her." And they collected enough money among themselves to get her a loaf of bread. And they went to the shop, got a loaf of bread, and then they climbed up on her thatched roof. And the chimney was big and white, and they dropped down the loaf of bread, and it came down the fireplace. And the lady, the old lady, God bless her, she lifted the loaf of bread, and she said, "Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for providing my needs. Thank you." Well, the young lads that congregated at the door, at the half door, they shouted in, "Ah, you silly old woman, that wasn't the Lord that provided that bread. It was us." "Oh no," she said, "it was the Lord who provided it. He may have used the devil to deliver it, but the Lord provided it." Well, that woman could well have had a hold of this scripture: "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he just superb? He'll never let you down. Come to him. Trust him. He'll save you. And that's the gospel truth. Let's bow our heads in prayer, or our hearts, even better. Lord, we thank you. We're just amazed at this message. that you supply all our needs. All our needs. You're our God. Lord, thank you. I pray there's people listening who are in trouble, Lord. Lord, meet their need and let them see you. Let them know you. And Lord, get your gospel out in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for the people in India. They're having trouble feeding them. And there's pastors there that are going with one meal a day. And there's people in Nepal, Lord, can't get out at all. They're not allowed out. And they're going hungry, Lord. Meet their needs. We'd ask in Jesus' name. And in Africa, Lord, meet their needs. But my God shall supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.